to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the last-minute check of free speech, because we're doing our last-minute check. Is it still... Did we remember to pack the free speech? I don't know. I think it's in there somewhere. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. And we've got Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
Well, thank you for joining me. And
I think you packed the free. I think make sure. I think the free speech is packed with your toothbrush. I'm sure.
I hope so. Yeah, because
I hope so.
Yeah, there's one thing that bothers me more than dirty speech. It's like not having free speech. Dirty mouth, dirty teeth, free speech. Gotta keep everything. Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, there's all sorts of things going on. What would you like to start with? If you don't have anything, I've got something.
Okay, well, I mean, I've just been, you know, I've been following what's been happening, but we haven't spoken since the attack on those Russian air bases and the bridges in... where was the bridge? Was that in Bryansk and Kursk, where they killed one of them? They killed civilians as well. And then the Kiev gangsters have also hit the Crimean Bridge. I don't know what they expect to achieve with these things, but we haven't spoken about that. And I think we're probably going to talk increasingly more about AI, whether we like it or not.
Okay. Well, so with the military action, one thing I was saying about it on a recent show is it's kind of reminiscent of what the Jews did in Lebanon with the pagers, because it was a weaponization, kind of almost a booby trapization of what's very important civilian infrastructure. So people remember in Lebanon, the Jews, the Israelis, they had plotted and managed to succeed to booby trap numerous pagers. Now, pagers, I guess in some parts of the world, are still in use, such that they could be remotely detonated and blow up in the hands of whoever's using them, blowing off fingers, blowing off eyes, I guess in some case killing people, but certainly maiming people. Not a very nice thing. And with what happened with these attacks against Russian bombers, I mean, the targets were certainly military targets, but the means of hitting them, there are some problems. They were able to booby trap container vessels, which the vast bulk of the world's international trade goes through these container vessels, and these were booby trapped so that they, once they reached their destination, they could sit around kind of as sleepers and then be remotely detonated, where they'd open up and drones would fly out and target. In this case,
they were actually log cabins. They were log cabins.
Log cabins, what, in the containers?
Yeah, portable log cabins. You can actually see the pictures of them. They're like log cabins. Those ones that you get, and they're actually already made up. They're not big things, but, you know, you just, you basically export them, and you just basically, people buy those things all ready to go. So there was... Certainly some of them were log cabins, because I've seen the pictures of them. I think they had them hidden under the floorboards in the log cabins, maybe, these drones, and then... Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, well, okay.
It doesn't really matter what they were. They were containers or they were log cabins.
Well, if they were log cabins and they were being delivered, they would probably have been delivered in the containers. I don't know. Those details can get worked out, but that's one aspect of it. Of course, another aspect is the targets were these bombers, and the bombers are used in the Ukraine war, but they're also the bombers that were targeted, and in most cases were not destroyed. I guess in some cases were destroyed, but they are nuclear capable. They're part of Russia's nuclear deterrence, and they come under the auspices of the START, is either START 1 or START 2. I think it's a START 2 treaty, the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaties that came out of the Reagan administration. And
that's right, yeah. SALT
was the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaties, and those came out in the 70s. I guess the first one from Nixon, the second one from Carter, which was never ratified by the Senate, but it was observed. And then
START
was reduction, as opposed to limitation, it was reduction. And this treaty called for the bombers to be left in plain sight. They couldn't be hidden. They had to be left in plain sight. And with the assistance the assistance of some sort of Western military / intelligence.
I know everyone likes to blame the Americans. To me, this has got more of a Mossad thing. And also MI6, I think, I don't know whether it's because there are so many Jews involved in the British Empire that the British, particularly that sort of the intelligence echelons and that kind of group, many of them kind of homosexual types who live in very big salubrious areas in Surrey, a lot of them in the southwest of England and also in the southeast, that arrogant British intelligence posse. I don't know whether it's because they're actually, you know, they've almost taken on Jew-like qualities, or whether it's because the Mossad and the MI6 are just so closely linked that it's difficult to tell the difference between them. But this is the kind of audacious, flaunt the rules, gangster activity they indulge in. This is what they do. It's so Jewish. It's like, we'll do what we want, and what treaty? If we don't want to acknowledge a treaty, well, to hell with the treaty, and they just laugh about it, you know?
Yeah, there is something Jewish about it, which is why I was making the comparison with the pager incident.
It's got Mossad and MI6 all over it. Like I said, Mossad is right up the backside of MI6 anyway. They probably pretty much control MI6, so you could probably use the terms interchangeably. But my own gut is, when I first saw it, I was like, this is MI6, Mossad is involved here, you know? More so than the Americans for some reason, but anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's hard to understand. For me, it's hard to understand why the Israelis, when they're as busy as they are scheming in the Middle East, why they would get involved. So I'm not going to point the finger.
I've got good reason. There's good reasons why they would get involved, though, because the Jews still have this, you know, historic resentment against Russia, for a start, as we've discussed many times. And secondly, they are very much part of this Western global homo, alliance, simply because it serves their interests. So, you know, Russia defeating Ukraine is a blow to the United States and the collective West, And I don't think Israel likes that, because Israel obviously is a complete parasite, particularly on the United States. So if it's a defeat for Russia and a win for Ukraine, I think Mossad do have their own incentives to be involved in this type of stuff.
Well, it may be. It may be. We won't be able to resolve that here. We'll probably never know. We'll probably never know. Now, before we started this recording, I listened to the Jeffrey Sachs Book Club with Ilan Pappe. And Ilan Pappe is Jewish. I guess his origins are in Israel, because he's got that kind of accent. And he's non-Zionist or anti-Zionist, and I know he does some good work that's critical of Israel. But one thing that they were talking a fair amount about was the origin of Zionism. And it's difficult to talk about Zionism because, strictly speaking, especially if you're talking about the origins of Zionism, Zionism is the movement for Jews to reassemble in Palestine, in the Holy Land, whatever you want to call it. So that's strictly speaking what it is. But over the years, it's been used largely by people who want to be critical of what Jews are doing without naming Jews, saying, well, it's not the Jews, it's the Zionists, yeah. That type of thing. So,
I've also noticed over the years that, you know, and you've probably noticed this as well, and I became very irritated by it, like people in our circle referring to Zionism, pertaining to things that have nothing to do with Zionism. They had plenty to do with Jewish power, but nothing to do with Zionism.
yeah, and so, yeah, it's not the Jews, it's the Zionists, that type of thing. And so, for a lot of people, Zionism is not strictly the return, a movement for Jews to return or reassemble in that area, but, you know, it's Jewish supremacy. So they'll use the term Zionism to refer to efforts by Jews to gain control over the societies that they live in, or get world domination, and they'll refer to that as Zionism. And, you know, well, that's a definitional thing. We have to be clear what we're talking about. At any rate, the way that Sachs and Ilan Pappe were using the term, it was the movement for Jews to reassemble in the Holy Land. And
Jeffrey Sachs, you're talking about.
Jeffrey Sachs and Ilan Pappe. That was.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
Ilan Pappe, and he teaches in, what is it, Excelsior University in Britain, some British college, but he's somebody who I'm pretty sure is from Israel. And you know, these are both guys that I like. I'm not against them, but they're able to make the case that, well, before Theodor Herzl, before the Zionist movement that most people are familiar with started in the late 1800s. In the early 1800s, there was a Christian Zionist movement that got started in Britain and I guess also spread to the United States. Wouldn't it be great
if, that is true, Patrick.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if Jews reassembled and this hastens the end times and whatnot? And
John Nelson Darby and people like that, and the Plymouth Brethren, and you can even, there's even early sprouts of it with Cromwell.
And so I'm not an expert in it, but I'm not saying that this isn't something, that it is something. You can say that, but Where I'm taking issue is when you look at what's going on now, when you look at what's going on in the 20th century, when you look at the project of creating the modern state of Israel in the mid 20th century, and then
repressing the Palestinians, how important was, you know, John Darby and those people, or, you know, or how important is that?
Contributions.
Yeah, what contribution does that have? And I would say it's rather negligible. You know, you could say, well, there, if it hadn't been for that, then you wouldn't have had the same kind of... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you had some Christians with some very dubious eschatological ideas, and they would have been left there had it not for the Jews doing what they always do, is when they take an idea from a non-Jew that they think that it'll serve their interest, they throw a lot of money at it and start up, you know, conferences and summits and bribing people and pushing it, which is what they did. I dare say that John Nelson Darby and Cromwell, I don't know, he enjoyed killing the Irish. But, you know, I dare say that the Plymouth Brethren and the John Nelson Darby and his followers, they didn't quite have in mind. They had more innocuous intentions, I dare say, than how it's actually panned out.
Yeah. And so I think nowadays this is just being used as a convenient means for...
To blame white people again.
To blame white people again, yeah. And...
Yeah, and this is Jeffrey Sachs today. Yeah.
And Jeffrey Sachs, recently he's been talking about it. He didn't talk about it that much before. And I guess maybe after his book club interview with Ilan Papi, maybe he's been emphasizing it more. I think, you know, it's... The thing is... everything isn't always all about the Jews. Okay, I'll grant that. But what's going on today, and especially what's going on with regards to the genocide, there's only negligible accountability that you can ascribe to non-Jews. This is a Jewish project. And, okay, you know, you can be Chomskyite and say that, well, they're serving American interests, but they're not. I mean, the American state is being harmed gravely by this.
Yeah, and they understand that you don't need really to bribe the whole nation. You know, they understand that you only need to take, you know, first of all, you take control of the money supply, you take control of media, and, you know, then you can bribe and intimidate a few politicians, and, you know, those you can't bribe, you intimidate, and those you can't intimidate, I guess you can make an example of them by blowing their head off while they're being, you know, in their car in front of the whole watching world, in the case of JFK. So, you know, they understand you don't need to be controlling everyone, but, you know, I don't think Jews are interested in money per se, but they see the value in it because they can bribe people and they can buy people, they can buy control. And so they see the value in money as to be able to purchase control by bribes. And so they take control of the money supply, they take control of the media. If they can't bribe you, they'll intimidate you, and they're pretty good at that. And, you know, so they've got all these politicians and the Congress largely in their pocket because these people have no principles, because... The non-Jew is attracted to, I don't know, he's attracted to money and prestige and, you know, swimming, having a nice 12-bedroom house and another little seaside house and his nice big car and the status that comes with it. And so you end up with, you know, they're not behind absolutely everything, but they're like if you were to build a car has got a lot more moving parts that make it go forward and powerful than just the engine. But I would describe this as particularly in the last century or so.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Got a lot more moving parts that make it go forward and powerful than just the engine. But I would describe this, particularly in the last century or so, Jewish power as the engine of the whole thing. The other stuff, it's just the engine buying the other parts and bribing the other parts to come and join them. But it's a Jewish operation, largely.
And, you know, I'm not sure exactly all of why Jews are focused so much on group interests. It may have something to do with a lack in a belief in, or at least an emphasis on, afterlife. And so, to the extent there's an,
I don't think so. I don't think so, because even back in Jesus' day, you know, you had the Sadducees. You know, you hear about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't even believe in an afterlife. Most of the people in the synagogues are atheists.
Okay, so, and if you don't believe in an afterlife, then really the equivalent of the afterlife is your progeny, right?
Is what?
Your progeny. It's your descendants.
My view is that most Jews in the synagogue, their deity is themselves. They're worshiping themselves.
As a group.
As a group, yeah. The Jewish people.
Yeah.
That's their deity.
Yeah. And
if you understand that, you'll see it's kind of probably not that difficult to be killing some Palestinians, Patrick.
Yeah. So, right, and I think this, whereas somebody like, the Goyim just are less group-oriented, and so you get a Clinton, a Hillary, or a Bill Clinton, you get a Ted Cruz, you get all these people, I think...
Lindsey Graham,
that they don't have any particular group loyalty. It's not important to them. Now, I guess if they were really worried about their eternal souls, maybe they wouldn't act the way they do. But if they're not worried about their eternal souls and they're not worried about the long-term interests of their group, then they're going to be attracted to swimming pools and massive bank accounts and that type of thing. And I think that is a great deal of what we're dealing with. By the way,
let me qualify. There's nothing wrong with swimming pools for anybody. There's probably a lot of people in America who's got swimming pools. I mean, what I mean is, you know, I'm talking about the $12 million mansion with a very big swimming pool and another one in the basement and its own cinema and six cars with, like, you know, six big garages and all the rest of it. I actually know some people who are very nice people and they've got swimming pools.
Yeah, and the boomers will remember the cement pond was from the Beverly Hillbillies. They were rural people who came upon a bunch of money, millions of dollars, and moved to Beverly Hills, but they retained their
most of it, I think,
lifestyle.
Is actually,
yeah,
I think most of it is status. You know, there's a passage in the Bible, and it says there's three things that people get snared by. It says that the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, a lot of these politicians, for example, get controlled. A lot of these men get controlled by weird sexual stuff they've done. I mean, you know, I would say that Keir Starmer is partly in that category. Keir Starmer, to me, is no doubt is ostensibly homosexual. There's nothing masculine about the guy. Yeah, so you could, you know, the lusts of the flesh or, like, you know, sexual stuff that these politicians get caught up on. And, you know, like someone like Keir Starmer, they probably got dirt on him as a homosexual. You know, the lusts of the eyes. Well, that refers to, you know, the things, the houses, the cars, the watches, the gold necklaces, the diamond rings, you know, the nice clothes, the £10,000 Armani suit. And the pride of life is status. Look at me. I am someone. Who are you? You know, Douglas Murray's like that. You know, he's got his books. I've published that. Who are you? I mean, I'm an expert. I've got six books published, and I write for this paper and that paper. It's a status. They're looking for status. And look at me. I'm a barrister. You know, so they want that sort of status. That's the pride of life. Like I said, all the Jews are interested in his control. He doesn't care whether he's rich or whatever. anyway. Getting a little sidetracked, I guess. But
no, actually, you're helping me refine the point I was trying to make. So, for Jews who don't really believe in an afterlife, or, you know, like a kind of a final reckoning of, you know, good and bad, right and wrong, if you don't believe in that and you're Jewish...
Heavenly flower, nature passion roses kiss with.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilandia,
you are my dream.
Don't really believe in an afterlife, or, you know, like a kind of a final reckoning of, you know, good and bad, right and wrong. If you don't believe in that and you're Jewish, then you wind up emphasizing group interests. If you really don't believe in that and you're not Jewish, you don't have a loyalty to a group, then it is going to be things like, you know, status in this life. You're going to be emphasizing, you know, your well-being and your glory in this life. And I guess that's why... you know, if you got two groups, one is interested in maximizing group interests, and the other is interested in maximizing personal interests, then groups are stronger than disjoined individuals. So the groups are strong, and they're able to pick off these individuals and use them as puppets. And I guess that really probably goes a long way. And I'm sure somebody has probably written dissertations and books on this. But I think that goes a long way in explaining the means of Jewish domination of our societies.
Yeah, I agree. But just back quickly to Jeffrey Sachs earlier. I'm not a huge fan of Jeffrey Sachs, but I know he's largely one of the good guys and he's on the judge. But he was on the judge today and he was speculating. I think he was speculating about... might have been to do with the British involvement in this whole Russophobia thing, and he was talking about, I think he might have been talking about the British Empire, but he basically said, you know, the British, I think he was talking about the British Empire and then it sort of merged into the American Empire, and he basically said that, you know, what you're talking about is, you know, the whole thing is really all about, you know, about 2 centuries worth of just like Anglo-Saxon arrogance and a desire to dominate or something like that. And he used the term Anglo-Saxon, and I raised my eyebrows because he used 2 centuries. And I'm like, all right, Jeffrey, you're a Jew. You're telling me that comment you just made, you think that's accurate, that the last 2 centuries has basically been all about the dominance and the desire for power and dominance of Anglo-Saxons. That's part of it. We're just discussing that, Patrick. That's part of it. There's no doubt about it. You know, in the last 2 centuries, been a lot of Anglo-Saxon types who, you know, been part of the British Empire and the American Empire. But what? But not a word of who controls the Federal Reserve, who controls the media, who controls Hollywood. Are you sure, Jeffrey? You're a Jew. You don't know any of this. You don't know anything about Jews, no? I mean, are we really to believe that he believes that as a Jew and someone who's informed? That he doesn't know anything about Jewish power. None of the stuff that we talk about, he knows nothing about that, no?
Well, because the Jews are behaving so badly around the world. I mean, obviously, you've got what's going on in Gaza, obviously. I mean, that's nobody can pretend that doesn't exist. Even these bought off goyim in the Senate are saying, come on, we just don't want pictures of rib cages on starving babies. Just avoid that, please. I mean, even they're trying to tell the Israelis to tone it down. You can bomb them, you know, buried under the rubble. At least we don't see them, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But these images, we have to stop the images. You have that. But you know, the question is, where are there Anglo-Saxons in the world that aren't living under Jewish domination? Where are they? And where are there Anglo-Saxons in the world that 2 or 3 generations from now are going to be living in an area of even Anglo-Saxon majority, let alone running their own societies? Because we don't run our own societies as it is. But
I'm sure there must be a handful of white people in China.
Yeah.
We can ask them what's it like. Yeah. What's it like not to live under Jewish dominance? But yeah, I mean, you know, Max Blumenthal, another guy, they'll never talk about any of this. It's all, you know, see, it's not acceptable to criticize Zionism. Okay, you can still get in trouble for that, but, you know, I had 3 or 4 days where I didn't have YouTube Premium. And the reason I have YouTube Premium is to stop adverts coming through. And I watched the judges' channel. Interestingly, I watched a couple of other people, Paul Joseph Watson and Rachel Blevin. Rachel, she's always acting as if she's been heavily persecuted. I don't know, because she talks about Russia or Israel or what. But I was watching these people's channels briefly because I like Mark Sloboda. Mark Sloboda was on Rachel Blevin's channel. There was adverts coming up all the time. They're so annoying. All Watson is saying. And these people act all edgy, and they're getting people to sign up to their Patreon and for their merch and support me in other ways because I'm really persecuted. It's 2025, and they're still even monetizing these people. Anyway, side issue. But, what was I talking about before that? I've lost my own train of
Well, I mean, we had been talking about how the last thing we're talking about is, I asked is...
Oh, yeah, I was saying, you know, these people are not, there is no cost, it would seem, not to the judge, to be talking either about Russia, or about Israel. And you know why, Patrick? Because they never really talk about Jews. Even when they're talking about Israel, they're talking about white supremacy and colonialism. And when they're talking about Russia, they do the same thing. Jeffrey Sachs talks about Anglo-Saxon Russophobia. That's why they can keep talking about what they're talking about. And that's why in 2016 and 2017, our little, you know, YouTube channels, which were, in my own case, it had barely gone over 1,000 subscribers, was like a little fly. But what was I talking about? And the Jews leave no stone unturned. Let's swat that fly. So it really irritates me when I hear these people talking about Israel, talking about Russia, and they're blaming white people. And at the same time, they try and act all edgy, and I presume to get their figures up, because it's a great way of boosting your channel and popularity, to say, I'm really persecuted, I'm a real truth warrior. Well, it was interesting for me to not have YouTube Premium for 3 days, just to see all the adverts coming up as normal, as if I was watching BBC News on YouTube or whatever it is. You know, it's like, anyway, it really just irritated me. And Jeffrey Sachs said it today, Anglo-Saxons over the last 2 centuries, anybody can listen to it. He was on The Judge. I don't want to misrepresent him, but what I said, I think, encapsulated the gist of what he was talking about.
And, you know, when you get down to it, why do they talk like this? And they talk like this because they're talking about issues that are problems primarily because of Jewish power. Yet if you say it's primarily because of Jewish power and you expose the mechanism of that Jewish power, then you have your platform taken away. And so these are all like big, you could call it fake reasons. I mean, not totally fake. There's always,
you know what's right?
Fake reasons. And not totally fake.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be, excuse me, there's going to be some sort of basis to it. Like the Christian Zionists. Christian Zionism exists. Christian Zionism predates Theodore Herzl. But you're not really getting an understanding of why things are the way they are by focusing on Christian Zionism.
No.
You know, it's not
and
the main thing that's going on.
And also, you don't you're left scratching your head, for example, about Russophobia, without understanding, well, you know, the Jews, you know, they don't forget these people. They, you know, they like to get even, whether it's 50 years in the future or 500 years in the future. They've got their little resentments and scores they want to settle. Because they are so groupy, it's passed on from one group to the next. It may as well be the same group of people, you know, 500 years ago that's alive and well 500 years later, because it's drummed into them before they're 6 years old. So they're just the same little people passed on. They're all mixed in with each other, even genetically and everything else. And so these people, you know, for example, I don't think Putin understands it, and I don't think he wants to understand it. Maybe he's got a blind spot because of Adolf Hitler, so he doesn't want to go there in his own mind. But he is so naive sometimes, and far be it from me to tell him how to conduct his war. But I can tell you one thing now: if he thinks that the provocation is going to stop, he's got another thing coming. They're going to do more dirty tactics, kill more civilians if they need to, and stir up the Russian people so much where it'll be left, where it'll be untenable for him not to do something really powerful in retaliation, and then an escalation. Because they are not going to let this go. I've said this before. It's like when it becomes abundantly clear that they're losing and they're going to lose, do you think they're just going to walk away? And if you don't understand who you're dealing with here, i.e. Jews, then you're going to be in for a shock. You're going to keep raising your eyebrows. What, they still won't admit defeat? They're still provoking us? They won't let it go? No, they won't. And these people are crazy, which is why it scares me, that it can end up in a nuclear conflict before they'll admit defeat. They'll bring the whole tent down. They don't care who suffers. Before they'll say, okay, you know, we've lost here. Time to, you know, lick our wounds and move on. Yeah, they're going to bring a lot of pressure to bear, I think, increasingly with more civilian attacks as well. Like I said, where it's just going to be a lot of pressure on Putin, where people are very, very angry, where it's very, very going to be almost untenable for him to just stick to this. We're winning. It's not going to change the trajectory of the war. But Putin better get on with it, you know, because this is the danger of this attrition stuff. You know, the longer it goes on, this is like a wound that's festering. The more likely there is for escalation and the whole thing getting out of control. Quite frankly, I think that's where it's going.
it's a difficult needle to thread, and you know, I can understand why.
And I'm a fan of Putin, by the way, but I just don't think that he understands what he's dealing with or who he's dealing with.
He may or he may not. It's, you know, it's hard to know. Some cards are held close to the vest, so it's really hard.
Maybe
it's hard to know, and you know, there's some things because of. I think because of decades of Soviet education that then spilled over into Russian education, but the Soviets, who were founded by a Jewish revolution, the Soviet state founded by a Jewish revolution that was hostile to the Russian population, but then when non-Jews, Slavs, eventually gained control of the Soviet state, they were stuck with major aspects of the system that the Jews had created. You know, the legacy of the revolution, but then also you know, the economic policies of communism. Part and parcel of the legitimacy of the state, and they couldn't reject it. They were stuck with it. And, you know, not only were they stuck with the policies, but they're stuck with the narratives that had to be reinforced through the educational system. And so you have a population that is steeped in, it's easy to be steeped in hostility towards Hitler or Germany if for whatever reason, and for, you know, whose ever fault,
and of course Hitler, those horrible Germans back in the day, they were all anti-Semites, so we can never identify any Jews as the problem, because we'll just become Nazis. How are we ever supposed to sleep at night?
Yeah, so these things are difficult to deal with.
To untangle.
Yeah, the leaders are kind of stuck with what they inherited. You go into Armageddon not with the history that you want, but the history that you have. Not with the maybe. I mean, I'm just riffing right here. I don't know. I'm improvising.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation for Putin. It'd be interesting to know what Putin really thinks about this. Does he realize what he's dealing with in terms of? It's just not going to stop. It really isn't. They're going to have to secure a lot of. They're going to have to get some manpower around that Crimean bridge. And as I say, they killed civilians, and you know, they will say, "Oh well, you know, these are strategic targets. These are logistical targets that Russians use for the war on Ukraine." Yeah, well, blowing up a bridge was one thing, but blowing it up when there's 238 people on a train crossing the bridge right at the moment they're crossing that train is very much another thing. You know, what's the chances that's an accident? Oh, well, we blew up a bridge, and it just so happened there was, a train, you know, a civilian train going to Moscow with 238 people on it. Well, whoops, you know.
Whoops. Oh, well.
Well, whoops, as we know, that's what makes me think it's very much an MI6 Mossad operation.
Yeah.
Scummy little scumbags sort of operation. They're very spiteful, hateful. They're just creepy, satanic little slippery little horror. They're most of them, probably a lot of pedophiles among them.
Could be.
A lot of pedophiles among the British. There's a lot of them along the upper echelon of British society. Make no mistake about it. Creepy. Look, I've met some of these people, and they make your skin crawl. It's just like, hey, he's a pedo. the British are the worst for it. I guess the Europeans are the worst for it, but the British, I think, are the worst of all. But I think Macron's a homosexual. I think Starmer's a homosexual. Merz wouldn't surprise me if he's a homosexual. You know, I think a lot of these guys are up to their neck in all sorts of aberrant sexual behaviors, you know, which makes them very easily controlled.
Yeah. Well, okay, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anything you want to finish up on?
No, I was saying about AI. I just think the point I was trying to make the other day is about AI quickly. I was going to use the word struggle, but I don't think that's fitting. It's going to be impossible for people, humans, society and societal structures to be able to keep pace with the speed of the development of AI and the sheer vastness of it.
We're going to sing together, okay? Tiny bubble, make me happy. Eat your hot dog lunch, make me feel fine. Tiny bubble.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
For people, humans, society and societal structures to be able to keep pace with the speed of the development of AI and the sheer vastness of the changes it's going to bring and the speed at which it's going to develop, society's not going to be able to keep up with it. And it's going to happen very soon because of that exponential phenomenon.
Exponential.
This is something which is going to... Yeah, this is something which is going to like happen in a couple of years, where it's, instead of thinking based on, say, just even the last 100 or 150 years, based on the progress we've made, which has kind of been exponential as well over the last 30 or 40 years, you would think, okay, well, where would we be in 100 years? It's kind of almost how you'd imagine you're going to be in 100 years, except we're going to get there in 5 years' time if someone doesn't put the brakes on this AI stuff, you know? It's because it's just, the more I looked into it, the more alarming it is, just the sheer scale of this thing. I mean, it's very overused when people say, oh, this is going to change everything. But this AI stuff, if it keeps going the way it is going to change everything.
I had a friend who was a big shot in the government of Afghanistan when it was a kingdom. And then, of course, one day there was a coup d'etat. And he was telling me, you know, there's a coup d'etat and you wake up and everything's changed and you don't know what your place is in it. And, you know, people in our audience, very few of them have probably lived through a coup d'etat where you wake up and all of a sudden everything is different. You said exponential. The programs learning how to write programs and then, teaching themselves. This has the potential to be exponential, and it could happen very, very quickly. And, you know, are we going to wake up one day and effectively the AI has decided humans are just going to screw up everything and we're taking control, we're taking over?
Well, yeah, I think that's where it's heading. And, you know, someone needs to put the brakes on this thing. But the problem is we don't live in a unipolar world anymore, and no one's going to put the brakes on it because the Americans are going to say, well, if we don't keep developing it, the Chinese are going to keep develop it. But like I said, I mean, if we were to fast forward now into what we thought the world would be in 100 years' time, and like I said, I think with AI we could reach that world in 5 or 10 years, not 100 years, we wouldn't cope. We just couldn't cope any more than someone from 1875 would cope in our day today. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, they wouldn't survive. And if this AI thing gets going, and it's already started, that's the alarming thing about it. You know, 18 months or 2 years is a hell of a long time with the way AI developed, because it's like building a foundation. And once the foundations of this skyscraper are built, it's like you come out of a restaurant on Wednesday and the foundations are built, and then you come out of you go back to, you know, the same restaurant on the Saturday and the skyscraper is completed. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, that's how quick this thing goes. It's like, you know, so we'll be like a snail in a race with a cheetah, except that, you know, a week later it's not a cheetah anymore, it's a Formula One car, and a few days after that it's one of those bullet trains.
Yep.
and then it's one of those supersonic, you know, it's going to be on
tenor. Yep. All right,
exactly.
Well,
we're out of time, but thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. It's a pleasure as always.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. cows, too.
Ezoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.